Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, y'all.
Zach Valenti here. What you're about to listen to is our second special extended episode, Volt Fuss, a story set a few years before season one of Wolf 359 begins. Before we get started, we'd just like to say a huge thank you to our incredible, unbelievably generous supporters on Patreon who made this episode happen. So much of what we've been able to do with this show, including making special episodes like this one, would absolutely not have been possible without you. Even though the show's ending soon, we still have some pretty exciting stretch goals for additional content. So if you'd like a little more Wolf 359 in your life in the new year, head to patreon.com/wolf359radio and consider signing up for a monthly pledge. Again, that's patreon.com/wolf359radio.
Well, it's about time. Hello? Hello? Is there anyone here? I guess not. One big honkin' private plane all to my...
Sorry. Didn't mean to spook you.
It's okay? Where are you?
Just a moment. Still processing the latest weather report. Ooh, looks like some fireworks going up over Hawaii later. Better reroute around them. I mean, nothing against fireworks. They're awesome. There's colors, and a bang, and this really nice smell, apparently. But they can be a bit of a navigational...
I'm sorry. Could we go back to... Where are you?
Sorry. Terribly rude of me. Just doing some pre-flight checks in the flight deck. And, I suppose, also talking to you, sir and or madam.
You're the pilot?
That's me. Census Unit 196. Designation, Enlil. At your service.
Oh, you're the autopilot. Of course. Why keep a pilot on retainer when you can just build one?
One moment, please. Just running through a few of the... Oil quantity, normal. Fire warning system. Yeah, that should work. Flight recorder, on. And done. We are all set for takeoff.
Good. And, where do I go?
Ah, Are you going to be flying with us today, sir and or madam?
I am. Seems like it'll be quite the adventure.
Well, hooray. But also,
Yes?
I thought it was just going to be Mr. Clark and Mr. Cutter today. I mean, with them having to get back to Los Angeles for the VX3 debut.
Why don't you check again?
I'm sorry, but I have checked. I've been checking 47 and a half times per second for the past 2 minutes. And it's still... Wait, let me just make sure. Yep, I'm still just getting 2 passengers on the manifest.
I think that...
Miss Nash.
Here we go. Mr. Clark, it's good to see you.
You too, Miss Nash. What are you...
Maybe you could help us out with this little contretemps. It seems...
Miss Nash...
It seems that my name got left off the manifest for this flight. How on earth could that have happened?
We can talk about
this. I'm sure it was just a silly little mistake, wasn't it? Or do I need to get on the phone with my editor?
I thought you wouldn't be able to join us today. The driver said...
Oh, I took my own car.
We thought that awful accident right by your hotel might have been a problem for...
Oh, I changed hotels 2 nights ago. I didn't mention that? Sorry. It must have slipped my mind.
Yes.
Well, it all worked out, didn't it?
Enlil, please add Miss Andrea Nash to the manifest for today's flight.
Very good, sir. Bye.
And get us ready for takeoff. Quietly.
Yes, sir.
Shall we?
Yes. This way, please.
After you. Not bad, Mr. Clark. Not bad at all.
It is a very special aircraft.
Clearly. Custom made for the boss, huh?
You're one to talk. You did fly from New York to Tokyo, just so you can fly back to Los Angeles with us, right?
Well, I get great deals on my miles.
Very funny.
You know how this works, David. They want this interview, and if I can only get half an hour of the boss's time when he's 35,000 feet over the Pacific, so be it. Besides, I'm not the one that's paying through the nose for this. Now be a sweetheart. Where do I get set up?
Right through here. This is one of the private offices. You can make yourself comfortable.
Aw, see? You can be useful. Tell me, did that hurt? Did it physically hurt?
I have no idea what you mean, Miss Nash.
Of course you don't. Thanks, David. See you in a bit.
Enlil?
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye on her. Let me know if she... anything.
She seems nice.
She's an investigative reporter, Enlil. One that specializes in tech sector scandals. She's not nice, she's smug. And I want to know if she so much as breathes funny.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Open cabinet 3, please. Let's get organized.
Hello, David. I trust everything is well.
Yes, Mr. Cutter. Are you ready for today's flight?
Ah. Man must rise above the earth, to the top of the atmosphere and beyond. For only thus will he fully understand the world in which he lives.
Does that mean...
That means we're ready, yes.
Close the cabin door, Enlil.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Please be advised that the cabin door is now closed. We will be taxiing to the runway in just a moment. As we do, please turn your attention to our mandatory safety video. It is, of course, on mute, so it might be a bit hard to make out, but maybe you'll catch something interesting that way. Or you can make up your own dialogue. Or don't turn your attention to it at all. I'm not the boss of you.
Truly, you are the wisest among us, Enlil.
Just happy to be of assistance, sir.
What do you have for me, David?
Finalized release specs for the VX3 for your approval. First pass at potential candidates for Artemis and Hephaestus missions. There is some interesting chatter on new Chinese fuel cells.
Juicy.
There's also the reporter, sir.
The reporter?
Yes. After takeoff, you will be giving an interview to Andrea Nash.
I'm going to... What?
She's on the business beat.
I assume you did your best to...
Of course, sir. She's proved very resourceful and eager.
She must be, to get the best of you. Do you hate her?
With the fiery intensity of 1,000 burning suns, sir.
Well then, if that's the case, sounds like fun. Will she be any trouble?
No, she won't be, sir. But she thinks she will.
Good to know. Which room did you put her in?
Room 2, sir.
Thank you. And Enlil, give us a bit of privacy, please. Nothing outside of flight announcements in room 2?
Also, yes, sir. But still...
See you in the air, gentlemen. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm
Marcus Cutter. A pleasure to finally meet you. Andrea Nash.
Likewise. I'm so glad you could join us today.
Oh, please. I appreciate you making the time. I know things must be hectic this week.
Oh, yes. Busy, busy, busy. Has anyone offered you anything? A drink? Snacks? Super fluffy pillow?
A chai would be great.
One of the many nice things about an autopilot guided aircraft. Instant barista. Here you are. Do you prefer Miss Nash, Andrea, Andy?
Well, do you go by Director or Mr. Cutter? Or are you one of those super bosses who uses first names because you're all just one big happy family?
Miss Nash, then.
Mr. Cutter.
Attention all passengers, please prepare for takeoff. Passengers, we have now reached our cruising altitude. Please feel free to move about the cabin and to check out the really neat cloud shaped like a Tonka truck off the port side.
Your AI is a bit...
Yes. A personality as big as the sky.
Odd trait to program into a pilot.
Census units are funny things, Miss Nash. In a lot of ways, the wand chooses the wizard, so to speak.
Sure, but you can get rid of the Slytherins if you want.
They're the most interesting ones. Shall we get started?
Do you mind if I record this?
Of course not. But you don't use your phone.
Oh, writing about the tech lobby has made me more appreciative of analog recorders. They have their charms.
Such as?
Such as the fact that no matter how smart people get or how good tech becomes, there isn't anyone that can remotely hack into one.
Not yet, anyway.
But for the time being.
Well,
this is certainly going to be an interesting 4-hour flight.
It's a 10-hour flight to LA.
Not on this plane, Miss Nash. Not on this plane. Let's get started. Welcome to Wolf 359. So, where would you like to start?
Let's ease into this. To begin, could I just have your name and a bit about what you do?
My name is Marcus Cutter. I'm the Director of Communications for Goddard Futuristics, and I handle a couple of portfolios for a special projects division.
And how long have you held that position?
It'll be 3 years next April.
Could you tell me a little bit about the history of Goddard Futuristics? Give me the overview.
Is there a reason you'd like my perspective on that? It's all in the public record.
I just want it on the record, in your own words, if you don't mind.
Wouldn't it make more sense to—
Please, indulge me. I want to hear it from you.
All the way back?
All the way back, if you don't mind.
Well, way back, in the turn of the century, there was quite a kerfuffle over this teeny little invention. You might have heard about it. Called airplanes. For a decade or two, that was all anyone could talk about. After the Russians were the first to achieve liftoff, well, I think we all sort of decided we needed a new technological race. Something to take our mind off the sting of defeat. We all kind of decided, well, it's not actually about flight. That's not the key. It's all about who can get to Mach 1 first. Who'll be the first to break through that pesky old sound barrier?
And that's where Goddard came in.
Which one of us is telling this story, Miss Nash?
I'm sorry. Please.
In 1910, a pair of aviation tycoons met a young physicist by the name of Goddard. Mr. Goddard was a very gifted individual, had incredible ideas, but tended to strike people as a bit strange. It tends to happen when you're ahead of your time.
Of course.
It was a good partnership. They got him boatloads of money. He gave them designs for liquid fuel rocketry. They got to Mach 1 in 1912 and became national heroes. After the war, they started the Wright-Goddard Aeronautics Company.
And after that?
Well, a lot of people would have called it a day there. Instead, Goddard restructured his company around R&D for spaceflight.
How'd he do with that?
Escape velocity in 1929, first manned space orbit in 1948, all the intrigue with the moon in the early 50s. Am I boring you?
Not at all. And after that, what was the next race?
Artificial intelligence, of course. The Wright-Goddard Company was pretty much the first corporation to invest in AI research.
Why?
Think about it, Miss Nash. The early crewed spacecrafts? Anyone could fly those. A monkey can fly those, if you don't mind a bit of turbulence. But to really go places, you need something a bit more complicated. And once you start to skip down that yellow brick road, it's only a matter of time before you realize you need pilots that can do things no monkey could ever manage.
When did they rename the company?
1974. By then, we'd started to branch out into other fields. Biomedicine, chemistry, alternative energy.
And after that?
That pretty much brings us to the present. After NASA lost the funding for its Alpha Centauri missions, we were more than happy to give them a new home in the private sector. Since then, we've run more than 150 privately funded expeditions into deep space. And next week, we're putting out a shiny new engine that will help us reach even further into the stars. The end.
How far out are we talking? 10 light years? 50?
Somewhere. Thereabouts? Yes.
And, what would you say is your race, Mr. Cutter?
Oh, I'm just a humble division head. It's not my ship to steer.
Isn't it, though? Looking at the company structure, the Special Projects Division doesn't really report to any other department or share its research. Neither do a couple of the R&D divisions. Since about 1976, no department has had access to all the others, except for communications.
Well, that is kind of the point of a communications department, Ms. Nash. We communicate.
And how are you finding the department since you came on board?
Oh, it's very fulfilling. But this piece isn't about me, is it?
Maybe not. But I'm interested in your perspective. Your directives.
Our board sets the direction.
But you're the one that actually gets it done. In a lot of ways, one might argue that the communications director might be the most influential position at Goddard Futuristics. And you still haven't answered my question. What race are you running, Mr. Cutter?
People. It's us. I think we're what's next.
What do you mean? What about people?
Everything about people. The very concept of people.
What?
Well, it's... Here. Think about the internet.
Okay.
Think about what everyone's been saying for the last 2 decades. It's changed how we act, how we think, how we experience the world. But there's still a middleman.
And that is?
You still have the browser window. That's not going to last. Sooner or later, we'll start changing things directly. And since that's the way we're going, I think that whoever gets there first, they'll have a real opportunity.
To sell Casper mattresses?
To change the world for the better.
And what does that look like?
Apologies for the interruption, but we need you at the secure phone, sir.
Ah, yes, I'm sorry, Miss Nash. We're in the early stages of organizing some field trips out to Lloydton 726, Ross 154, and Wolf 359, and they just need me to...
Please, take the call.
Thank you. Be back shortly. That was 20 minutes?
Yes, sir.
I think you may have underestimated her.
She wants to break another scandal, and I'm sure she will, sir. But it won't involve us.
No. It's something else. She hasn't asked me about the VX3.
Maybe I overestimated her, sir.
No. Something's off here. She's after something. Or maybe she already has it. David, did Miranda leave any of her restraining bolts on the plane?
I'd have to check on that, sir.
Please do, David. Please do.
Sir, do you really think she requires that drastic a touch?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to go back in there for a bit and see. Let me know what you find.
Yes, sir.
Now, where were we?
How we're going to change the world for the better.
Of course, that. If I can actually ask you, Miss Nash, this piece of yours? I'm getting the sense this isn't the standard profile one writes for a new model launch.
I'm not quite sure what it is. Not yet.
Your editors are willing to fly you halfway around the world and back for something you're not quite sure of yet?
What was that?
We have some old equipment lockers on here. David must be looking for something in one of them. Do you have any more questions for me?
I do. You took over as communications director from an interim manager, but are really building on the work of a man named Willis Fletcher, correct?
Correct.
And he took over the department from Jonas Hyland.
Yes.
And before Hyland, there was R.W. Neiman, then Charles Kerr, William Carter.
And the communications department was started in the early 70s by one Mr. Arthur Keller. Why is this of any interest?
What happened to William Carter?
What happened to him?
Yes. Do you know?
He left the company in early 1992, saw us through the collapse of the USSR, and retired, as far as I know.
Yes, he did retire, at the age of 36.
It is a very demanding job. I don't begrudge him for wanting a bit of peace, and...
And then he vanished off the face of the earth. There's no record of William Carter after 1992. Anywhere. I looked very carefully. Do you have any comment on that?
Why is this of any interest to you? You're a business reporter.
A business is just the people who work in it. And many, in fact most, of the people who really make the decisions for Goddard Futuristics have a habit of vanishing into thin air.
I thought you said you weren't quite sure what you were writing.
I'm not quite sure, but I have an inkling. Care to help me out?
I see. Or, I think I see. Before I answer you, Miss Nash, what were the three stars I mentioned to you earlier, just before I left the room?
Loyton 726, Ross 154, and Wolf 359.
What do those stars have in common?
I'm sorry?
What do those stars have in common? What connects them?
What does that have to do with William Carter?
What do those stars have in common, Miss Nash?
Is there a reason you don't want to answer my question, Mr. Cutter?
I'm going to ask you one last time. What do those stars have in common? What is important about them? No? Well, I think we're done here.
That was cute. But you know I will publish everything, right?
What do you mean, publish everything?
I mean, publish everything. And you know my editors wouldn't have sprung for a flight across the world if I didn't have everything.
I do know that.
So, that brings us back to William Carter and changing the world.
Yes. It does.
Need you on the line again, sir?
Please. I'm not going anywhere.
Any updates?
We do have a restraining bolt, sir. It's prepped and ready to go.
You've administered one of these before, right, David?
Yes, sir. Are we there, sir?
No. No, not yet. She's not going anywhere after all.
Sir?
Let's give her some time. We'll go over those candidate profiles. I'll go back in about a half hour.
And the restraining bolt?
Once I'm in, turn the sound monitors on speaker. If I say the phrase, Voltfass, that will be your signal. Come in and install the bolt.
Yes, sir.
Actually, David, would you open up the wall monitor for me now?
You want to keep an eye on her?
I'd actually like you to go in there. See if you can get her to say anything interesting.
Just that, sir. See if I can make her say anything interesting.
Just that?
Yes, sir.
He may be a little while on that call, Miss Nash. Do you need anything?
No. No, thanks. I'm fine.
She's wondering why you're still there, David. You gotta do something. In 3, 2...
Can I do anything for you, Mr. Clark?
I suppose I'd be wasting my time if I asked you to put aside your prejudices just during your conversations with Mr. Cutter.
Ah, the loyalty card. Charming.
You have a bit of a reputation.
And you think I'm going to be unfair?
I think you know what makes a good story. And I think sometimes we can warp reality to fit whatever makes a good story. Happens to the best of us.
And sometimes looking at why people want a story to fit a certain form is a story in itself. And sometimes those stories make some people go to jail. Which would be sad, but, you know, happens to the best of us.
She's got you there, David.
Can I give you a bit of advice, Miss Nash?
What?
Right now, you're in a very unique position. Unique and delicate. If I were you, I'd think long and hard about how what I say and do could impact that position.
Good. Make her ask if you think she's out of line.
Mr. Clark, let me tell you about my unique and delicate position. Right now, I'm sitting inside an airplane that's somewhere over the Pacific Ocean. That's really the best I can do. I'm taking you at your word that I was added to the passenger manifest, but who knows? I'm thousands of miles from anyone that knows me or likes me. So if delivering limp little threats is just a hobby of yours, awesome. Keep it up. You're doing great. But if you were actually hoping to intimidate me, you're really not making the most of what you've got on hand.
My, my, my.
Which makes me believe that, one, you horribly underestimated me when you allowed me to board this plane. And, or, two, you're just not as good at your job as you think you are. Either way, maybe you should have thought longer and harder about how
coming in here could impact your delicate position.
Well, that's game, set, and match, David.
So glad you're enjoying the flight.
Thank you, David. That was very informative.
Are you going to go back in there, or can I get the restraining bolt?
Let's give her another 10 minutes to feel pleased with herself.
And then?
I'll show her how good at my job I am. Hello, hello.
Hello. I wasn't sure if you were going to come back.
You thought I scared that easily?
Not really, no.
So, who is William Carter really?
I'd very much like to know.
But this time, I was asking the question. You tell me.
I don't know. Kind of why I'm here.
You have an educated guess. Go on. Tell me what you think happened.
And you'll tell me if I'm right?
Oh, I'll tell you if you've got a good story. Please.
Communications basically runs Goddard Futuristics.
I think you'll find that our operations team...
Yes, yes, yes. But you're the nerve center. You're the only one that has oversight. Whatever the de jure arrangement is, whoever runs communications is the de facto leader of the company.
Why would anyone go through all the trouble of setting that up?
Well, have you ever heard the story of the Earl of Oxford and William Shakespeare?
Is this the one where they both walk into a bar?
No. The theory goes that the nobleman was a brilliant playwright, but he couldn't write what he wanted and keep his reputation. So he arranged things with a local actor. He'd take the Earl's work, he'd get the credit, and play the role of Shakespeare.
And what does this have to do with our missing friend?
I think someone, or a group of someones, has some very specific ideas about how the future of technology should look.
The Illuminati strike at long last? Or perhaps they're alien overlords.
No, I don't think it's anything like that. Carter's the only director of communications who left behind any kind of paper trail.
You mean the survival manual.
No one willingly takes on this kind of power and just embraces total anonymity after they've handed it back. That's not human nature.
The implication being that, what? Someone played the role of Carter and the others? But then why retire Carter after so short a tenure? Why go through all that trouble all over again?
For the same reason you're not going to hold this job for more than a decade. You're a terror to work for. You make rather flamboyant examples of your enemies, and with the results you get, you won't avoid being promoted up the ranks for much longer. So, how'd I do? Was that a good story?
Not bad, Miss Nash. Not bad. I think you can be very happy with what you know. And I think I can be very happy with what you can only guess. Are we done? Or not quite?
Not quite. Just one more thing.
Okay. I'll bite. What else, Miss Nash?
Matthew Newman. Mr. Cutter?
What did you say?
Matthew Newman. He was vice president of product at Goddard. Well, Wright Goddard back then. in the late 60s. I'd like to ask you about him. Mr. Cutter? Mr. Cutter? Mr. Cutter, did you hear what I asked
you? I did hear you.
Well?
Well, this just became a whole different interview.
Why is that?
Because now there's another question in the air. Are you going to walk off this plane? Or are you going to be carried off of it? Sure you grasp what is happening.
Oh, I know exactly what's happening. We're at that part of the interview. You threaten me. You're much better at it than your flunky, by the way, and I tell you about the code.
Code?
That's right. Specifically the code I have to input into my phone every hour, on the hour. And if I don't, everything I have on Goddard Futuristics and on all your predecessors goes live.
Can you do that from this height?
Like I said, analog tape recorders have their charms. Ones that double as a portable Wi-Fi network, even more. So, let's put down the gun. And why don't we just skip to the part where you tell me what I want to know,
Why are you poking this bear? You already have a great story. You already had everything you needed before you spoke to me. Why push?
To get the truth. To
Don't insult me. It's not that. Tell me who you are. Who you really are. And if I like your answer, maybe I'll tell you about Matthew Newman.
I already played show and tell. You tell me who I am. No. Go on. Show me how smart you are. If you get it all right, we'll call it quits. You don't have to tell me anything about Matthew Newman, and I'll drop everything I have on Goddard Futuristics. Educated guess. I know you have one.
Andrea Nash isn't your name. In fact, it isn't even your third name. Yes, of course, I knew. A chameleon can always spot when someone is trying to hide in plain sight. You came from just enough money to understand how big the gulf was between your family and the people who actually have a chance in life. You balanced your education with, given your little code trick, I'm going to say some very lucrative and very immoral activities on the dark web. But, given that you boarded this plane at all, something almost touched you. Got close. You straightened up, leapt into the arms of one of the intelligence services, and told yourself it was where you belonged. But it was way less fun than you wanted it to be. Definitely no Clint Eastwood. For a while, you thought that's just what being an adult is, having less fun. But then, no, there's something else out there. There has to be. And because you are very clever, you managed to worm your way out. The journalist thing has been a great excuse to flex your muscles, but it isn't where you belong either, and you're getting bored again. Seeing titans of the industry quake in their boots is fun the first 5-6 times, but that kind of power is fleeting and you want something more permanent. You want to be at the... How did you put it? Oh, yes, the nerve center of something. something big and bold and different and anything, so long as it's not boring.
Jesus.
So I take it I did pretty well.
You did, Mr. Cutter. You did. But I didn't get bored. That's not why I left.
Oh? Why then?
There was a fire. People died. I realized life is short and the whole truth, justice, and the American way thing takes too long. It wasn't boredom. It was urgency.
I wouldn't have pegged you to scare like that.
I don't anymore. Hey. Tell me. A deal's a deal. You got something wrong. So tell me. Matthew Newman. Matthew Newman.
Matthew Newman. Is very pleased to meet you.
Wait, what? You're...
Oh, yes. In the genetically modified flesh, yes.
I've seen a picture. You look nothing like him. I didn't think he was...
Who did you think he was? The Earl of Oxford?
But you... You'd have to be...
Now, it's not polite to bring up a man's age.
Okay. So it's you.
Yes. It's me. What would you like to know?
First, how?
How what?
How are you here? And you were fired. Back in the 60s, the board pushed you out of the company. So, I mean, the aliases I get, but how could you possibly...
Should I maybe start at the beginning?
Yes, maybe you should.
Do you know anything about Project Menagerie?
No.
Air Force operation in the late 40s. Highly classified. Basically, the idea was to station long-distance satellites that could daisy-chain information. A precursor to the Pulse Beacon Relay System. There was only one problem with it, though.
What?
A high school kid in a backwater town in California stumbled onto it with his homemade radio telescope. To little Matthew Newman, Project Menagerie just looked like a time sequence of pulses. Definitely mechanical. Definitely coming from outside the Earth's atmosphere. He couldn't explain it. His teachers couldn't explain it. The professors at the local college couldn't explain it either.
It must have looked like...
Signs of alien life? Oh, yes. Quite the thing. To think you've discovered something that would change the course of humanity. But someone with clearance on the project got wind of this little amateur discovery, and just like that, the military police was ransacking my home, confiscating all my prototypes, and waving a copy of the Official Secrets Act in my face.
That explains the interest in space exploration, I suppose.
Oh... The interest was there before, but that is where the revenge flavor got mixed in.
When did Goddard enter the picture?
The 50s. The new board was trying to buy their way out of a financial slump, acquiring any small company that was doing anything interesting with aviation. At the time, I had a little outfit doing prototyping for the kind of deep space recon that wouldn't get funding for another 20 years.
And when your company got acquired, you started working at Wright Goddard.
Oh. For a time, I was Wright Goddard. I became a product lead, then a VP, then the VP. But you already know how that story ends.
One of the first of the independent interstellar missions crashed. The public backlash was brutal.
Someone's head had to roll. And the board forced me out. And I figured it might be a good time to reinvent myself.
Yeah, no kidding. The last record anyone has of Matthew Newman is a memo for an organizational restructure that would eventually lead to the communications department.
You found that old chestnut, did you? So that's how you connected Newman with the communications director job?
It was a hunch. I thought Arthur Keller, when he came in and started the comms department, he must have had some relationship to you. But he was you, wasn't he? They've all been you, just with different names and different faces.
Spaceflight and AI weren't the only bets I took.
You find the Fountain of Youth or something?
No. Nothing so fantastic as that. My father was a mechanic. I understand that upkeep is important, and I found people who had some very bold ideas about how to tune up the human body, as it were. I funded their work and provided them with a willing test subject.
Why play it this way? Why go back to Goddard? I mean, you literally could have done anything else.
Well, one, revenge is fun. Two, why go through the trouble of building a vast conglomerate with a world-famous reputation and almost a century of government contracts when you can just steal one? And three, as much as I've always been excited by space exploration and the possibility of what we could find out in the universe, it's only one part of the bigger picture.
What does that picture look like?
Like progress, Andrea. I wasn't kidding before. I really am working for a better future. For all of us.
Thank you for telling me.
You're one of a handful of people in the world that knows. For now, I suppose.
I don't see any reason why that club has to get bigger.
What do you mean?
I mean, you don't really believe I'm going to publish any of this, do you?
And in exchange?
I want in.
In.
On what you're doing. I want in. I'll take any job you give me, but I want to be a part of what you're building.
Why?
Because somehow you've figured out how to play the long game and make the changes that need to happen now. That's what I want to be a part of. Just give me that, and all this mess can stay buried in the past, where it belongs. Well?
No. No, thank you. This isn't how I do business, Andrea. I'm not about to start now.
No. No, you wouldn't have sat here. You wouldn't have gone through all of this. You wouldn't have told me if you weren't going to let me in.
It was a long flight. I needed something to do. This was better than watching Monsters, Inc. for a third time.
You are bluffing.
I'm really not. You have a wonderful mind, Andrea. One day, I'm sure it will be put to more productive use. My associate will be in to take care of you shortly, but for now, I'm afraid I must Voltfass. Goodbye.
Wait! Psi wave radiation. Those three stars you mentioned? They're all red dwarfs that exhibit abnormal levels of psi wave radiation.
And?
And? That's interesting. Because like you said, we're what's next. People. If anything holds the key to engineering a better humanity, you think it has something to do with psi wave radiation.
David, that thing I told you to do earlier. Don't worry about that. I'm going to cancel that.
Yes,
Okay then.
Let's talk.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. We are now beginning our final descent into the Los Angeles area. Please keep your seatbelts fastened and your tray table in the upright locked position if you, you know, happen to have been sent to the timeout chair that has a seatbelt and a tray table. Otherwise, just keep doing what you're doing. From the flight deck, we hope you've enjoyed your time up in the air, and we hope to see you aboard again soon.
Amazing. A piece of art every time. In any case, does what I've outlined sound acceptable?
It does. Yes.
You will have to shed your old skin, so to speak. There would certainly be questions if a journalist of the caliber of Andrea Nash were to suddenly...
Of course. I understand.
I assume it won't be a problem for you. Any preferences on background, college degree, pets? Any names you have in mind?
I don't know. I've always kind of liked the name Rachel.
I'll pass that along.
This isn't LAX.
No. No, this little airstrip is on one of our properties. Skip the traffic when you can, right?
You think of everything, don't you?
I try to. If you don't mind.
Here you are, sir. I don't think I'll be needing that.
Well, there's the jet bridge. That's my cue. Goodbye, Miss Nash.
Goodbye, Miss Nash.
This has been Wolf 359. By Kinda Evil Genius Productions. Tonight's episode was written and directed by Sarah Shackett, from a story by Gabrielle Urbina and Sarah Shackett. The role of Nash was played by Ariella Rotenberg. The role of Cutter was played by Scotty Shoemaker. The role of Clark was played by Clements Kim. And the role of Enlil was played by David Reinstrom. Original music by Alan Rohde. And audio recording by Jared Paul. Tonight's special episode was only possible through the incredible generosity of our supporters on Patreon. To join them and help us make even more extra and even more special bonus content for Wolf 359, go to patreon.com/wolf359radio to sign up for a monthly donation. Visit us at wolf359.fm for full episodes and extras. And follow us on Tumblr and Twitter at Wolf359Radio for news and more.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Mount Absalom, a community, a heritage, a home. The green jewel in the majestic crown of Ohio, for 200 years, Mount Absalom has been a place to play.
N32.
Bingo!
A place to learn.
For in thy green and growing arms, we have everything we need.
All right. Now let's get out our math homework.
A place to work.
Here at the Celery Bottling Works, we produce over 2,000 bottles of celery soda every day.
A place to raise a family.
It's a girl.
It's a place of history.
And here we have the barrel of whiskey that Confederate soldiers stole from Mount Absalom patriot Amelia Pleasance during Morgan's raid.
And of course, a place of celery.
201st Celery Festival, I dub thee open!
Mount Absalom is the perfect place for making memories. For making memories. For making memories. For making memories. For making memories.
Make your memories with us. Make your memories here. Mount Absalom.
Paid for by the Delphic Order of Mount Absalom and Celeric Bottling Works. Refreshing Celeric Soda and Diet Celeric Soda.
Unwell, a Midwestern Gothic mystery. Learn more at unwellpodcast.com.